take our 101 books and turn to number 19. Favorite of many of us.
Thank you.
to have you with us. It's been a little while. I'm glad you're able to be here tonight. Just a couple of announcements here. Don't forget, this coming Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we'll have the Thanksgiving Eve service. Hope you'll come and be with us. We'll have a good time praying, singing, and giving some good testimonies about what God has done for us this year. And then hopefully Brother Myers will be able to be with us tonight, or that night, rather, excuse me. And then he'll give a small challenge from the Word. And then following that, hopefully he'll bring some good finger foods and desserts, and we'll have a good time of fellowship downstairs. And we'll start the weekend, extended weekend, right? So I think all of us understand that the biblical principle of giving thanks should be something we do every day of the year, not just one day. But it's definitely a good opportunity. We as a church body can thank the Lord for what he's given us during this year. And in spite of the circumstances we have been facing for most of this year, we still serve the same God. He hasn't changed. So that's a great blessing to know. All right. Can we make the announcement about the fifth yet? Okay. We have confirmed that the Weltons will be back two Sundays from now, on the 5th of December, and they will be bringing their daughter with them and also their son, whom we have not met yet. So that would be a good time to get to meet him, and hopefully he likes our church, and hopefully you two will put in a good word for us. But we're looking forward to having all four of them with us in 2 weeks.
Excuse me.
So we're looking forward. Yes.
Will we be able to do some type of fellowship lunch or something here at the church, maybe? Mm-hmm. Or you guys could consider it, maybe?
We'll have to figure out how that's going to work.
Okay.
The thing that makes it hard is having that and then having an evening service later. That's what makes it hard. So we'll discuss it, see what we can come up with. I know we did that a little bit ago, so yeah. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, we got time. Yeah.
So, all right.
Thank you.
Maybe it won't be the 5th, but maybe another time we'll work it out. We'll see.
Okay.
All right. Yes, Sam?
Well, we have the fellowship for Thanksgiving.
We do have that. So, which is this this coming Wednesday night, but she means with the Weltons here. So, they'll be with us in spirit, I suppose, just not in body. All right. So, anyway, maybe sometime you will be here with us, but we do have that. So, that would be good. All right. I think that's it on announcements that I'm aware of at the moment. We already discussed our being thankful that we got our heating situation fixed twice. And so we're in good shape, and we're thankful that God provided the funds and that the folks from that, what's the name of the company, Sam?
Fogles,
okay. So they did a really good job of taking care of the situation, and as Sam reported, particularly with getting that old boiler out and getting it out of here. It's very dangerous work, and we can be thankful for the protection that God gave to all the men that were involved in that. So we're thankful for all of that. We mentioned this morning as well. Most of you were here, so you heard it, but we need to pray for Open Door Baptist Church. That's the church where the Myers family goes, and their pastor, Brother Greg Griffith, passed away yesterday from cancer. And it took him very quickly. It was inoperable and incurable. And with no treatment, they suspected it would take about 2 months, and that's about what it took. So, and we need to pray that church, with the men that they have there in leadership, will have wisdom as God guides and directs them into whom the next pastor should be. So, we know exactly how that feels. having experienced that 3 years ago. So we can definitely not just sympathize, but empathize with them at this time. All right. Why don't we take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We'll go over our memory verses. I mentioned this morning that this will be the last week we look at Matthew chapter 11. We're going to move on to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 for next Sunday. I think a lot of you know that verse already, so. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Give you just a moment. I'm hearing some pages turn. That's always a good thing. All right, here we go. Let's say it together. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take our 101 books once again and turn to number 81. The Unclouded Day. Worship. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so with the song of 93?
Amen, brother. If you please stand this evening, take your Bibles for the reading of God's Word. We'll look in the Bible this evening in Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5. And we'll look at verse number 1. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 1. I was sitting in a hotel room this evening, woke up taking a little nap, and Lord kind of changed things up this evening, so I kind of threw a couple things down the Lord kind of laid on my heart here. But Daniel chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And the king and the princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, Lord, to open up your word. Father, I just ask for wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, I pray you'd give us what we need tonight, Lord, that would help us to continue on to love you, stay faithful, and to finish the fight. And Lord, I pray just lead, guide, and direct now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to look at something here in Daniel chapter 5 for a few moments this evening that kind of jumped out at me a few years back. But here in Daniel chapter 5, you have Belshazzar, and some say it's his father, or some say it's his grandfather. Either way, he's related to Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says about Nebuchadnezzar that he was a king of kings. He was the head of gold here, and the book of Daniel talks about it. And he was some kind of king. Nebuchadnezzar basically almost ruled the whole world. But here you have his son or his grandson, one of the two. Some people say his son, some people say his grandson. You have him here in chapter 5 having this party, this big feast. He's throwing this huge feast. He's bringing in all his lords and his captains and his wives and his concubines and princes. And he's throwing this huge feast. And it's a big feast because you got over 1,000 people coming in here to take part in this feast that Belshazzar's throwing. And as there, verse number 4 says, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And the vessels that they were using to throw this party were the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, his grandfather, had taken out of the temple out of Jerusalem. And so you have Belshazzar here. He's bringing forth those vessels that were used, that were supposed to be used for God's service, and he's using it to throw a party. And Belshazzar knew better than this. He knew better than what he was doing, yet he did it anyways. Take your Bible and flip over to chapter 4 and look at verse number 28. Actually, look at verse number 27. Now, this is Nebuchadnezzar, his father. And about Daniel told him, listen, king, you need to make some things right and take care of the poor and make sure you're walking humbly before God. And Nebuchadnezzar chose not to. Look at verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, like, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, if you keep going down this road that you're going, God's going to take you out. God's going to take you out because you're being lifted up with pride, and you think that what you've done in your own power, and you don't realize that God has done it for you. And look at verse number 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And then the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might, of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle feathers, and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellency, majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I did a lot of reading there, but listen, I'm saying all that because Belshazzar knew what God did to his father. He knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He knew what would happen if you got lifted up with pride and arrogancy and thinking that you've done it in your own power and not giving glory and honor unto the God and in heaven of heavens. Nebuchadnezzar spoke these things in verse 36 and 37, I believe Belshazzar knew exactly what he was talking about. But Belshazzar put it off to the side, and he chose not to listen to what his father had told him. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse number 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. I'm telling you what, if I be standing in a room and I'm having this party and I'm having this feast and I got all these people here with me, and all of a sudden I'm standing around having a good time and I look off to the side and I see this hand of a man appear out of nowhere and start to write on the plaster on the wall some words, I'm telling you, immediately the party would stop instantly. Instantly the party would stop. And you see here with Nebuchadnezzar and here with Belshazzar how God moves swiftly when he brings in judgment. He doesn't give time. And almost like we talked about this morning, when nations had peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Belshazzar thinks he's good. He thinks he's fine. He thinks everything's going great. So much so that he's throwing this huge feast. And God says, no, not so. Not so, Belshazzar. You know better than this. And his hand comes, and it's the finger of God writing on the wall. Take your Bible and look at Exodus chapter number 8. Exodus chapter 8. This is not the first time that the word finger of God is used in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 8 and verse number 19. This is the first mention in the Bible of the finger or fingers of God. And this is when God's bringing judgment upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. And look at verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord said. Flip on over to chapter 31 in Exodus. This is the second time it's mentioned. And this is when Moses receives the Ten Commandments and the tablets and the law of God. Exodus chapter number 31, verse 18. The Bible says here, referring to the finger of God, and he gave unto Moses, when he made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So the magicians say to Pharaoh, this is the hand of God. This is the finger of God. Only God can do this. Only the Israelis' God can do this. And here you have God writing with his own finger the commandments that he's given to the children of Israel. And then in Daniel, you see this hand come forth in fingers of a man's hand and writing on the plaster of the wall, and it gets Belshazzar pretty scared. Now look at verse number 7 back in Daniel chapter number 5. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now Belshazzar here, he's got a problem. And this is the problem that Belshazzar has. He can't read what's written on the wall. God's finger came down from heaven. The hand of a man came down and wrote on the wall, on the plaster there. And Belshazzar's scared to death so much that his knees are knocking together. And instead of falling down on his face before God, he says, bring in the astrologers. Bring in the magicians. Bring in the soothsayers. Bring in the Chaldeans. My men of wisdom and guidance, bring them in, because they should be able to tell me what this writing on the wall is. When he should have fell down before God. But he turned to his own reasoning in order to try to find out what was the writing on the wall. Now, brethren, this is where I kind of want to park for a little bit this evening. Do you understand the Word of God when you read it? Can you understand the Scriptures yourself as you read them? Or do you need someone else to explain it for you? And what I mean by that is we ought to be able to get something out of the Word of God ourselves as we read the Bible. We ought to get something from it. The Holy Spirit of God ought to bear witness to His Word with our spirit while we're reading it and be able to teach us out of the Bible. Now, I believe in the position of a pastor, or else I wouldn't be coming up here to this church and meeting with you all. And I believe in teachers, and I believe in reading books. But I'm afraid today that a lot of people get their knowledge from other men rather than God teaching them from the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's one of the reasons why if I did Sunday school or things like that, I would rather have a man or a woman that's doing a Sunday school class and say, hey, you get with God, you get a Bible, you pray, you get alone with the Lord and find out what God would have you to do in the class that you're teaching. Instead of handing out curriculums to go through and teach. Because that does not show the teacher where they're at with God. Anybody can pick up a curriculum and teach something to somebody else. But can you teach somebody something else by what you get from what God gives you out of His Word? Belshazzar could not read that writing. But we put a lot of things out there today to people that they think they're somewhere with God where they're not really at with God. And the knowledge that they're getting and the understanding they're getting, they're merely getting it from other men and they're just parroting out what they've been taught by other men rather than God giving them something. And again, I say, I'm not against reading other men's works or things like that, but I'm not going to rest on it as far as what God can teach me. God ought to be able to teach you something, and you ought to be able to get something from God's word as you read it. Belshazzar couldn't do that. He says, bring in the soothsayers, bring in the Chaldeans. I can't read this writing. And we're going to see eventually here, he calls in Daniel, who was a man of God, and he could explain what the writing was on the wall. The Bible says in verse number 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. His wise men could not say what that writing was, what those words were. Take your Bible now and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why is it so important for you to be able to get something out of God's word? Is for you to, in order to have power with God. You feed upon God's word and you walk in the light of God's word and you'll have power in your life by the Holy Spirit of God. Because you're feeding upon His word and you're getting something from God's word. Verse number 6 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them, and God prepared for them that love Him. But God, look, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. What I'm saying this evening is that you cannot understand this book unless you have the Spirit of God. You can get historical facts, you can spout things off that you've learned from the book or what other people have said. But in order to really get something from God, you've got to have the Spirit of God within you. That's the only way to completely understand the Bible, is to have the Spirit of God within you. That's the only way you're going to learn from the Word of God, is to have the Spirit of God in you. I guess what I'm saying this evening is, I don't want you just to have a mental ascension and a mental knowledge of who God is, but rather be a matter of the heart, knowing that God has changed you and made you a new creature, and you can now understand the things of God. I'm not saying this evening that you ought not to have teachers. No, I believe in having teachers. But I also believe that you ought to be able to get something out of God's Word. The Spirit should bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's one of the ways I knew I was saved. The lights came on March 19, 2000. When I cried out to God and I got saved and God changed me in that instant and moment of time, immediately the lights came on when I opened up this book. Now, did I understand, nor do I understand everything in this book? Absolutely not. But there are some things, when the pastor opened up the Bible and he started reading it, it was like, boof, the lights come on. And there'd be times when my pastor would be preaching and the Lord would be taking me a whole other direction, just things pouring out of the Word of God, and it wasn't even what he was saying, and the Lord was just giving me these things out of his Word, because I now had the Spirit of God within. He was now bearing witness with my spirit and helping me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope these things make sense this evening. Are you resting upon a man and what a man has said, or are you resting upon that God is bearing witness with your spirit, that you're one of his and he's teaching you and guiding you and leading and directing you in your life this evening? Paul says here in verse number 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look, you read through your Bible, you're like, oh, that goes with that. Or this is a cross-reference for this. Or you stay long enough in your Bible, and God be like, yeah, now that goes with this story over here. This scripture is good with this over here. And you start writing down and writing those cross-references down, because the Spirit is comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Look at this, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the carnal man, the man that's out there, the woman out there that's not saved, they cannot comprehend what Paul's saying here to the Corinthians, because it's spiritually discerned. But verse 15, but he that spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Belshazzar, back in Daniel chapter number 5, could not understand what was written on the wall. All he knew was he was scared to death because something supernatural had occurred in his presence. And when you get saved, something supernatural occurs. You are now a child of God. You are now born of the Spirit of God. And now you have an understanding that can come from God, because the Spirit bears witness to it. Belshazzar had none of those things. Now look at Daniel chapter 5, verse number 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and a showing hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom thy king my father brought out of Jewry? I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Belshazzar has no clue what's getting ready to happen here. He has no clue what God's getting ready to do to his kingdom. And it's a sad state. It's a sad state that Belshazzar's in. He's making promises that he doesn't realize he can't keep. He thinks that his kingdom's going to keep going on. He doesn't realize that the Medes and Persians are right outside his gate, right outside the city walls, and they're getting ready to come in and destroy him and all that's in there. But he's making these promises. I'll give you this, Daniel. If you just tell me, Daniel, he thinks that these things can be bought off. He's putting his faith and trust in, and almost like bribing Daniel, saying, Daniel, if you tell me what it is, I'll make you third ruler in the kingdom. He doesn't realize, Belshazzar, that within a few moments, Belshazzar, you're going to have no kingdom at all, much less giving a third of the kingdom to Daniel. These are serious matters. Belshazzar was unwilling to humble himself down before God. And we ought always to walk humbly with our God. Not be lifted up with pride, not be lifted up with arrogancy, never get to a point to where we think we've got it all together and we know it all. Daniel was a man of an excellent spirit, and Daniel walked with God, and Daniel says, know what, Belshazzar, you keep all you got. I don't want none of it. You keep it. Look what he says in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. He says, Belshazzar, you keep it. Daniel realizes what's going on. He's seen this before with Nebuchadnezzar. Brethren, think about Nebuchadnezzar for a second and Belshazzar looking at his father, his grandfather. That span of time that passed over Nebuchadnezzar was 7 years. He was driven in a moment, in an instant of time. His men drove him out from being king, and he was out there in the field eating grass like a cow, like an ox. He was out there so long that his nails grew like eagle's nails or bird's nails, and his hair was long to where it filled with dew, and he's out there like an ox eating grass. He was a crazy man. In a moment, God made him a crazy man, and he was out there. No doubt people walked by and saw him and said that this used to be a king of kings. And surely Belshazzar saw what happened to his father. And yet, in a moment, he just lets it just go away and thinks, that will never happen to me. That'll never happen to me. And we need to be careful. We never have that type of attitude where we say, well, that'll never happen to me. Look, in this fight, I talked about this morning, in this spiritual battle that we're in, we can never let up for one moment. We can never let our guard down. The Bible talks about growing weary. And don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season. If you're weary, ask the Lord to pick you up and help you to continue on and to stay vigilant. Because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We can never let down our guard till God calls us home to heaven. No matter how old or how young we are, if we're his, we can never let the guard down. We can never get to a point thinking, I got this. Belshazzar got to a point thinking, I got this. I know what happened to my daddy, but I'm not my daddy, and I got this. I got control of my kingdom. Nobody's going to take it away from me. Look how powerful I am. I got 1,000 people in here. I'm throwing this huge party for everybody. But he messed with the things of God, and he says, I've got this. And God says, oh, you got this? You've got this? No, you don't got this. And we never have it. It's only by God's grace and God's mercy that we're alive today, that he allows us to even be in here this morning or this evening and to be able to even comprehend what the Word of God says. It's by God's grace and God's mercy, and we need to live in the light of it. Daniel says, keep your stuff, king. Verse number 17, let thy gifts be to thyself and thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, here it is, Daniel's telling Belshazzar, listen, verse 18, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed of the kingdom of his from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over whomsoever he will. Let me stop here and say this real quick. If you were raised in a godly home and you had a godly influence, I believe you're more accountable to the things of God. I really do. I think God had more grace with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had no idea. He was just a king of kings. He had power. And God dealt with him and checked him to say, hey, you need to realize who's giving you this. And Nebuchadnezzar humbled down and said, yes, Lord, I realize who I got this. Belshazzar knew better. And therefore, I think God deals harder and swifter with him because he knew better because of what his daddy had gone through. And that's the way with us. If you're in a church for 30, 20, 30, 40 years, I believe God holds you more accountable than somebody just walks in off the street and's only been here 5 days, 10 days, or 2 months and doesn't know nothing. Than to somebody that's been growing in the grace and knowledge of God for 20, 30 years, God's going to hold that person a little bit more accountable than somebody just got saved 2 months ago. So God's holding Belshazzar a little bit more accountable than his father Nebuchadnezzar because he knew better. And Daniel's telling him, you knew better, but you hardened your heart in pride and you would not humble down. Verse number 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. One of the scariest verses in the Bible. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Daniel says to Belshazzar, you knew better. And the very God who holds the breath of your, in his very hand, your breath that you breathe, you have not glorified him. And not only have you not glorified him, you have disrespected him. You have been irreverent to the things of God, and you wanted nothing to do with God. And you're worshiping a stone and a piece of wood than the mighty God of heaven. And he says, Belshazzar, is coming down upon you tonight. Verse number 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. And this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and it is finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in his kingdom, in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Medan took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Daniel brings the meaning of what is written there on the wall, and he says to Belshazzar, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and thou art found wanting. God's taken account of what you've done, and you're guilty. You're found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances, and are found wanting. I'm sorry, the first part, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and it is finished. Thou art weighed in the balances, are found wanting, and the Medes and Persians are right outside thy gate. And God's going to take you out because you were not willing to do the things that you knew you should do because of what your father went through. You weren't willing to learn from what God was trying to teach you to walk humbly with God. The last verse I want you to look at is look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll close here this evening. 1 Peter chapter 5. God puts a premium on humility. And God abases all those that are lifted up with pride. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And look at verse number 1. 1 Peter 5 verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Peter here gives some direction to those that lead and direct and are in positions within a church, and he gives some insight here, talking about how they're to feed the flock of God, which is not taking the oversight thereof by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, which is money, but of a ready mind, and not to lord themselves over God's heritage, but being the sample. Listen, God does not force anything upon us. God doesn't force anything upon us, and therefore you should never force anybody to be a part of a church. That's one of the issues with the Catholic Church. You either come or you die. It used to be that way. This is a true church, and if you don't be a part of this church, you're going to suffer the consequences to it. No, God doesn't work that way. God does not force himself upon anybody. God says, here it is. You can choose it, or you can choose to reject it, but I'm going to give you a choice. God never forces himself upon anybody, and that's the way a pastor ought to be. Not taking, the Bible says here, feed the flock of God which is among you, not taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not saying, no, you have to be here, you have to do this. No, no, I want to do it. I want to be here. I want to serve God. I want to love him. That's why I got saved. And that's why I'm trying to serve God. Because I want to love him who first loved me. I'm doing it willingly, not by constraint. Look, I do not want my wife to be with me because I'm putting a gun to her head and forcing her to be my wife. That's not love. That's kidnapping, and that's a crime. I want her to be with me because she wants to be with me, and I want to be with her because I want to be with her. And that's the way in any relationship, especially the relationship that we have with God. I'm here this evening, brethren, because I want to be here, because I want to love God and serve God. I'm reading the Bible this evening because I want to love God because he first loved me. And I want my life to be pleasing to him, not because he's forcing me to do so. Okay? Now look at verse number 5 real quick. Or 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Now look, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you see that, brethren? Look, Belshazzar wanted the exaltation then. He wasn't willing to humble himself down with God and receive it later on. See, if we're willing to humble ourselves down with God now and walk with him now in a humble state before him, someday the Bible says that we'll be exalted together with him. It's not for now, but for eternity. And ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When our chief shepherd appear, if we walk humbly with God, he'll exalt us in due time in Christ Jesus. Belshazzar wanted it now, but he didn't realize that you can't have it now, nor can you keep it here now. How quickly it can be taken away. In a moment, in an instant, his life was changed for all of eternity. Because he chose not to humble himself down and learn from his father the things that God tried to teach his father. But he tried to do it his own way, and he got lifted up with pride, and he lost everything in a moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, help us this week to walk humbly with you. Lord, help us to learn from Belshazzar, Lord, and how he just took for granted, Lord, and made a mockery of your vessels, Lord, that were taken out of the temple and had no regard for your commandments or who you were, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would just have a humble attitude, that we'd walk with you, Lord, that we'd stay low, and that we'd just be obedient and faithful to you. Help us through this week, Lord, to just be a light and a testimony and an example to this lost and dying world, Lord. I pray you give us opportunities to talk with people in our daily, as we go about daily, Lord, that you just bring people across our path that you would have to be there, Lord, and you just give us an opportunity to talk to somebody this week about where they truly stand with you and about your great love that you have towards us. And Father, we ask all these things now in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Brother, I would like to do a song. Page number 99. If y'all would stand, we'll finish up here, page number 99. In that hymn book that we were singing out of earlier, page number 99, He Loves Me. I got it. I can take it, brother. Brother. All right. Here we go. All right.
Alas, it did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Thank you for it. Dismiss us now with your blessing.
May we travel safely to our destination. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.